Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ready to get your weekend started here on Sports Grid. We got you covered all Saturday, all Sunday, in-game live, all games that are going on right now. We are your second screen for programming, helping you with wagering, fantasy sports talk. As a matter of fact, we talked about this, I think, with Greg Sussman and Mike Cardano. I'm going to be hosting a Sunday morning fantasy football show for you guys all season long. So as we get closer, we'll tell you a little bit more about that. Maybe we'll start a few weeks before. I'm not really sure, but I can tell you that your Sunday mornings here on Sports Grid, I'm going to be up and early with you guys. I'm up and early anyway, let's be honest. I got kids, so up and early with you on Sunday mornings. When we get that more sorted out, we will let you know. But here are our headlines here on the Friday, and thanks for Chris mentioning that Tyson Fury deal there. Forgot about that. July 24th, that fight is off against Wilder. Afternoon baseball, we have it today, 2:20 Eastern, Cubs and Cardinals. Cubs are about minus 160 over on FanDuel. Wimbledon finals will take place this weekend. Davis will not convince me onto that one. Probably get a pass. The Bucks open up as 4-point favorites over the Suns in Game 3. I think if you're looking for 4 points from Phoenix, you may want to bet that now. I can't see this thing. There's going to be some Phoenix heat, I think, on this. Go to 3.5. And interesting note here, Davis, today, because yesterday Saquon Barkley appeared on the Rich Eisen television/radio show, and he interviewed Saquon Barkley. And for fantasy purposes, Davis, I don't get caught up in a lot of things right now because, again, no one is on the field. So to hear this team likes this player and this team likes that player, I think it's interesting for us to maybe create content, but I don't put a lot into it because no one's seeing anything yet. Now, once they're on the field, they're in pads and they're playing against each other. We have the preseason. There's something to go on. But to hear a player, when he's asked about potentially being ready for training camp and ready for the season, saying he's taking it day to day, well, I mean, I am a little nervous about that. It has been a while since Saquon Barkley played in an NFL game. And I'm wondering from your perspective how you sort of judge these interviews that are done by players as we get closer to camp opening.
I do think that you can get a lot of good information from interviews from players. I think you can get a lot of good information from beat writers who have been privy to conversations with the coaching staff and privy to conversation. I mean, and also a lot of these guys have watched practice. You know, for example, last week, Buffalo Bills beat writers were telling us, Gabriel Davis is not the wide receiver too. It's Manny Sanders. You guys might not like it. Literally, that's what the beat writers were saying. They were saying, we know the fans are going to hate it, but Manny Sanders is the wide receiver too there, not Gabriel Davis. And there is enough smoke here with Saquon Barkley because Barkley said this thing about taking it day by day. If you remember about 2-3 weeks ago, the team said, look, you know, we don't know if he's going to be ready for the start of training camp. There's a reason we brought in Devontae Booker. It's enough for me to be a little concerned. However, this is why the concern is not really impacting my drafting. If you want to look across all of fantasy football, who is potentially the guy who can have the season? right? 20 touchdowns, 2,500 yards, 80 receptions. It's like, okay, Christian McCaffrey can have that season. Dalvin Cook can have that season. Derrick Henry really can't have that season. They don't throw him the ball enough. He gets about 15 receptions a year. Saquon Barkley is one of maybe five guys who can have the season that if you didn't have him, you didn't win your league. So even if Saquon Barkley, if his knee's not feeling great, even if he's not ready for the start of training camp, for me, it can't really impact the way I draft him because I think that he is one of the very few guys who can have the season. But I do think it is cause for reflection for sure.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Barkley too is that, look, I think, you know, for me, it's different than it is for you. You're participating in not just two or three leagues, you're doing 15 or 20 leagues, and then season-long leagues getting closer to the season, maybe not as much. So for somebody like me that's only participating in, let's say, two or three money leagues at the most, it's like I tend to be more careful because I know that I'm only going to have a couple shots at it. And then it's like, okay, if I'm putting Barkley up against Cook or I'm putting Barkley up against, I don't know, Derrick Henry as an example, I may take the other guys based on something like this and I could get jaded by comments. But the one thing that I don't get jaded is this time of the year, just simply thinking this or that from anyone. When they put the pads on and they're actually on the field, my biggest advice for training camp for fantasy, ignore the first 2 days. Because the NFL beat writers, Davis, are just like me going to spring training. Oh my gosh, this guy hit a home run. Oh my gosh, ignore me on the first 2 days of spring training. I'm just thrilled to be back watching baseball again. You got to do that also with football. Wait a week, start to see who gets better. But people, it is a major overreaction to the first couple of days of anything. Training camp, probably even the NFL season, it's a big overreaction to the first couple of weeks. The only difference is in the NFL season, you're playing a game head to head against someone else that could matter at the end of the year, but training camp, no, not for me. I think that's for sure. So you're still good with Barkley then, right? No issue.
I mean, I would prefer Zeke, which I think is not represented by ADP right now, or if it is, that's kind of in constant flux. Slightly prefer Ezekiel Elliott. And if we get there day one of training camp and Barkley is not out there, if he's got the wrap on his knee and he's not out there, I think I'd probably start taking Jonathan Taylor ahead of him as well.
Okay, so there you go. There it is from Davis. Go to Daily Roto to check out all of Davis' projections for the fantasy football season. As I said, starting Monday, we're going to dive a lot more into that as well. Coming up next, the Quaker State 400 in Atlanta is this weekend. And so we will preview that next, coming up with Jim Sannis, and then Gray Albright will join us here on the show and talk about the value in fantasy sports, not just baseball, in Shohei Ohtani. So we'll have that conversation as well. Stay with us. This is more of Fantasy Sports Today coming up next here on Sports Grid in just 2 minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here on Sports Grid, with having the July 4th holiday off last week, we didn't get a chance to check in with Jim Sannis and talk about the race last week with Chase Elliott winning. And we're going to get to this week's race as well. Jim, of course, you can follow on Twitter at Jim Sannis and all his work over at Number Fire. And so I guess let's start there, Jim, before we get into the Quaker State 400. Chase Elliott wins last week. I'm looking at his odds this week before we get to it. Doesn't look like much has been adjusted because of that. So admittedly, I did not see any of last week's race. So what happened there?
Yeah, it was actually a really impressive win because he effectively did not qualify for the race. Like, he was stuck on pit road and there are a couple of red flags. started in 34th, but he's just so good on road courses that it didn't matter. Plowed his way through the race, through the field. He finished first. Kyle Busch also qualified towards the back. He finished third. Christopher Bell's a guy I was on. He finished second. He was 35-1. Couldn't quite get that final spot. I was hoping. I mean, I'm not going to root against Chase Elliott. He's the most popular driver, but I wouldn't have minded if he had gone off course, you know, gotten in the kitty litter a bit. That would have been okay with me. But hey, Chase Elliott's a fun guy to root for. So still happy despite not quite getting the Bell out right there.
All right, so Quaker State 400 is this week. Where is this race this week?
This is in Atlanta. Their second race in Atlanta this year.
Okay, let's take a look at the odds here over on FanDuel, and this is coming up for this weekend. We have Kyle Larson, who is the prohibitive favorite at plus 260. We have Kyle Busch over on FanDuel at plus 850. Chase Elliott is 10-1. Martin Truex Jr. is 12-1. So is Kevin Harvick at 12-1, and also Denny Hamlin at 12-1. So as you look at the simulations, Jim, this week, what are you finding?
I'm finding that Larson's going to be tough to beat. I have him at 20.9% to win right now, which means that I can't bet him at plus 260. The implied odds there are 27.8%. So I can't get there. But it does mean that if I'm going to bet someone, I need to make sure they've got the upside to beat Larson, specifically on a track with heavy tire fall off, because that's what Atlanta is. And Larson almost won there back in March. He got beat by Ryan Blaney despite leading 269 laps out of 325. So he was dominant there. So I need to find guys who I know can beat Larson on this track type. And the two guys I think can do that are William Byron and Tyler Reddick. Byron is 14-1, and he actually did beat Larson in Homestead. He won that race back in February, and he's been not as great since then, but he's been very consistently towards the front. And that's interesting for sure, because we saw the upside before, and we've seen the consistency to prove that that race was not a fluke. Byron ranked second behind Larson in aggregate average running position on the 550 horsepower tracks, among the non-drafting tracks, that is. So he's been towards the front. He has shown he can win. And I think there is enough here to bet on Byron. He is at 8% in my win simulations compared to 6.7% is implied odds. Reddick is 85-1. And I don't like betting long shots on bigger tracks because they require a lot of speed. And that means that the pool of drivers who can win is a lot smaller. But Tyler Reddick has shown he can do it. He finished second behind Byron in that same Homestead race. He's tremendous there. He ran well in Kansas as well. And Atlanta has not been one of his better tracks, whether it be in the Xfinity Series, the Truck Series, or the Cup Series. But it has a lot of similar characteristics to Homestead in Kansas. It is a high banking track with a lot of tire fall off, which means you can explore for other lines. That should suit well to Reddick's strengths. We saw him run well in Homestead. I wouldn't be shocked if he could do so again. There is a lot of speed under the hood. There's a collaboration between RCR and Hendrick, which means he's kind of got the same engines as Kyle Larson does. So 85-1 is a long shot. And I'm not a huge fan of those in general, but I've got Reddick at 2.2% to win in my win simulations, which means he should be closer to 50-1 than 85. So at 85-1, I'm actually okay taking a swipe at it and see what happens.
Yeah, I love the idea of somebody else winning this race, not with the guys who have won it all season long. I know there have been a couple of big upsets, but not as many as I normally see in a NASCAR season. All right, so playing on DFS this weekend, let's check Jim's thoughts on which way we would go here when building a lineup. Of course, Larson is going to be the highest priced on FanDuel this weekend. He's 14,500. Chase Elliott, who won last week, is 13,500. Busch is at 13, Truex Jr. 12,500, Denny Hamlin 12,200, and Brad Keselowski will stop there at 12,000. Kevin Harvick just below there. So how do we build a lineup to cash in on DFS this weekend?
Yeah, this is what we talk about a lot, Craig, where you want to pick and choose where you get your financial exposure to guys. And I think that if you're trying to get financial exposure to Kyle Larson, you do so in DFS. $14,500, and there, you don't need him to win to pay off, because he could lead a bunch of laps and finish second like he did back in March and still be a tremendous DFS play. And also, we get to use five drivers as opposed to one. So I think that if you're looking for a way to use Larson, this is the route for doing so. And I think he is an awesome, awesome play for this week. No shocker there by any means. If you want some guys in the mid-range, I do like Ryan Blaney, the guy who defeated Kyle Larson in Atlanta earlier this year. He's generally been good on the heavy tire wear tracks, excluding Darlington Arlington and Richmond. So in this package, he's been pretty good. Ran well in Kansas. Actually was on the front row for a late race restart, but almost got wrecked by Larson, so finished 21st. He ran really well in Kansas, though. So I think that Blaney at 11,000 makes sense, as does Larson's teammate, Alex Bowman, who is $11,000. As far as value plays for this week, I do want to go back to guys who run well at the tracks with heavy tire wear. And that does include Reddick. He is $7,300. But if you're looking for a guy who can get some place differential points, starting a bit deeper in the pack, Chris Buescher is starting back in 18th. And there is some upside there with him because we saw him run really well in Atlanta. He had a 10th place average running position. He finished inside the top 10 in that race. And also, he was crazy good in Homestead this year. He didn't finish all that well, but he actually won a stage. He led more than 50 laps and had a 10th place average running position there as well. So I think that if you're looking for drivers this week in general, you want to focus on the three tracks we've had so far with heavier tire wear and 1.5 miles. That is Atlanta, Homestead, and Kansas. And Buescher's been pretty good across those races. So to me, Chris Buescher, $7,300, I think that that makes a lot of sense. I would look at Reddick too at 72, despite the fact he is starting inside the top 10. But if you are looking for another way to get a little bit extra wiggle room with the finishing position, Buescher does make a lot of sense at $7,300.
All right, so I think that gives us a pretty good idea for this weekend. And, you know, certainly next week, Jim, we'll check back in on the odds to win the entire cup here at the Xfinity Cup at the end. I mean, is there any race coming up that can kind of derail what Larson has done this year?
Yeah, so I think that what you're looking for is a track in the playoffs, because it seems like Joe Gibbs Racing and Team Penske are focusing heavily on tracks in the playoffs. So what you're looking for, Craig, is effectively, where are we going to a track where those teams will, I mean, to put it weirdly, will they care more? And we won't get to a track that's in the playoffs until the playoffs. So right. It's going to be a while. It's going to be the summer of Hendrick. I think we can say that pretty definitively. There are two more road courses left in the regular season at Watkins Glen in Indianapolis. Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson will be the two favorites for those races. Atlanta, it's going to be Kyle Larson as well. So I think that basically we should just expect the Hendrick Motorsports dominance to continue throughout this entire summer. That does not mean you can't bet anyone else to win the championship, because that's in Phoenix. And Phoenix is a very different track than what we've seen here over the summer. And again, we saw Joe Gibbs Racing and Team Penske do very well there earlier on this year. So although Hendrick is a team I would expect to continue to just dominate throughout the summer, that doesn't mean we have to ignore the championship outright market. I think that once we get to Daytona, the final race of the regular season, I'm going to be betting Martin Truex Jr. to win the championship, whatever that number may be, because I don't think we'll get a better number later on. And I think that the summer we've seen so far is a bit misleading as far as what we should expect once the playoffs begin.
Yeah, and look, I think that you're always looking for an edge this time of the year, especially toward the end with some of the favorites just being so big. But we'll see what happens in Hampton, Georgia this weekend. Atlanta Motor Speedway is certainly one of the all-time great places to watch NASCAR for sure. Thanks again, Jim, for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Have a good weekend, and we'll catch up again next week.
I appreciate it, Craig. Good talking to you once again. We'll talk to you then.
All right, follow Jim Stannis on Twitter, of course, and check out his simulations over at NumberFire to help you win money, not just on this weekend's race in the Quaker State 400, but also coming up in future races as well. We'll take a quick break here on Fantasy Sports Today. We got plenty more to come here on the show. We've reached the halfway point of the Major League Baseball season and the fantasy season for a lot of people. You guys who play the season-long leagues get to take a break on Monday. I know I'm looking forward to not setting a lineup for the first time in 3 months. That will come on Monday. How is Gray Albright's fantasy season? Well, we'll check in with him from Razzball coming up next right here on Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid and SportsGrid.com. Stay on the grid. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
back to Fantasy Sports today here on Sports Grid. We are halfway through the 2021 Major League Baseball season. Who better to weigh in on what he has seen in the first half than Gray Albright, who you can follow on Twitter at Razball. And Gray, it is good to catch up with you again as we reach the halfway point of the season. We made it, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, man. It's good to have a full season. I'm excited. Like last year, we weren't even at the beginning of the season yet as of last year.
That's, you know, right. So, yeah. And we would have been done. We would have been more than done with the whole year with this amount of games too. I think it again, we had it for entertainment. I don't think as we realize here, I mean, the best player on the planet right now didn't even basically make a dent in that season last year. So that makes the most sense. All right. So let's start with this. So I have a lot of Shohei Ohtani stuff for you. So Ohtani leads the majors in home runs at the break. He has double-digit stolen bases. He's obviously pitching. He's going to be in the home run derby. He's going to be in the All-Star game. So here is the kind of the two-prong question, is that I've maintained, Gray, that in fantasy sports, if you could roster Ohtani as a pitcher and a hitter, as one player on a fantasy team, he is probably the most valuable fantasy sports player of all time. Not just in baseball, of all time. You could never get a player of this kind of value. But as we still sit here in 2021, we have not figured out a way to make that happen in a lot of these leagues. Like, shouldn't that just be done at this point? Like, he should be able to be both. What is taking so long?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think the fantasy game providers are lagging a bit on catching up to what Shohei Ohtani is able to do. I was saying to a friend of mine that Ohtani, I think right now, is showing us what baseball and potentially sports in general are going to be like in 20 years from now. Like, we're getting a glimpse of where the sport is going, because, like, you know, maybe 10 years ago, you had all these kids coming up through, like, you know, not high school, but like coming through the minors and going through and being like, you know, like Tatis and like a Trey Turner and all these guys who grew up watching the A-Rods and the Jeters and stuff. And they saw, like, you know, middle infielders having power and going for home runs, like Bo Bichette, like showing power. Like, you know, these guys grew up with guys who were traditionally, you know, for us, like back in like the 80s and 90s, you didn't have guys in the middle infield hitting for power. But then when they saw like the A-Rods and these other guys hitting for power, they were like, you know, middle infielders do this. So you're going to have guys who are like, you know, the 15-year-olds who are seeing Ohtani now, they're like, hey, I'm a great pitcher, but why can't I hit as well, coach? And the coach is like, you know what? You're right. Go ahead. So, like, in 10 years, we're going to see more Ohtanis.
Yeah, I think so, too. And again, it's more of a fantasy thing for me. Like, it really bothers me. And maybe it's a good thing, honestly, that they don't have Ohtani as one player, because it would make the first pick in the draft more valuable than any first pick in the history of fantasy sports, if you could do that too. But that's something that I personally still don't get.
And yeah, well, that's what I was saying on Razzball with like my top 100 for the second half. It'll come out on Monday, I believe. And Ohtani, like I say with Ohtani, like, he's kind of like better than the first pick overall right now. Like, if that's possible, it's like, true. You know, like, if he is a pitcher and a hitter in your league and you can use them simultaneously, which you should be able to do. I agree with you, even though, you know, right now in most fantasy games, I don't think you're able to. But if you can, he's better than the first pick overall.
Yeah, and again, until they fix that, he doesn't have that value. Although, again, double-digit steals, 32-plus home runs in 2021, that's for sure. So maybe the biggest surprise of one of the bigger surprises of the fantasy season is just simply getting overshadowed by Ohtani, Gray, because he's on his same team. And I didn't know that we would even be going here. But, like, when you look at the home run leaders and you see Jared Walsh's name on this list, I know he was phenomenal in September, but Jared Walsh has 22 home runs, Gray. His OBP is 34%. I mean, in a season where no one's hitting 250, this guy is hitting 280. And Gray, they let go of Albert Pujols to play Jared Walsh more. And I think that this is another player that is not being talked about enough this year.
Yeah, if I could toot my own horn, I wrote a sleeper post in the offseason about Jared Walsh. I was a big fan coming into this year. It was a little hairy in March because it looked like, you know, the Angels were still toying around with Pujols. So it was like, what's this going to do for Walsh's playing time? But they made the right move, which, you know, congratulations to the Angels. Teams don't always make the right move. So it was good to see them do that. You know, for fantasy, right now on Rasball's Player Raider, we have Jared Walsh at 17 overall, right between Olsen and Machado. So he's putting up top 20 overall value and top, you know, 12 to 15 overall hitter value.
It's
tremendous.
Yeah, he really has been. And certainly Tatis having a great year, Acuna. Everyone knows who the great year players are. But again, there have been some players in this first half of the season also that were drafted in the first round that have not delivered. And sort of injuries aside, Christian Yelich still kind of waiting for him to, you know, bust out and have the great season. I've been watching Cody Bellinger play the last few days. It does seem like he's getting the bat on the ball, but I still think it's a work in progress for Cody Bellinger as well. There have to be a few batters in the first half, Gray, that you've seen that are buy low candidates. And maybe people are just done with those two players. I don't know. Maybe there are some other busts in the first round. Maybe somebody is willing to punt on Juan Soto. They're disappointed he doesn't have 20 home runs in the first half.
Yeah, no, completely. I think, Bellinger, I still have faith in because, like you said, he's getting the bat on the ball. And I think he, you know, without having a true, like, you know, he had the spring training, but then he was out for like 6 weeks. It's hard to get your timing right. So I think Bellinger is going to be okay. Yelich is a real concern because Yelich is really like he's moved back to his Marlins days of a low launch angle and a lot of ground balls, which is not what you want to see from a guy like Yelich. I wonder if he's not nursing something that he's just not telling us about, whether it's the knee that he had problems with in the past. I don't know. Maybe it's a shoulder issue. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on with Yelich, but it does not look great. I think another guy who, like you said, Juan Soto, I think he could come out of it. Like, I truly believe, like, you know, in the talent there. Honestly, before the two homers on Tuesday and Wednesday, I was more concerned. You know, now that I've seen the two homers from him, I think there could be something. Maybe he's coming out of it. A buy low. I really like Josh Donaldson as long as he's healthy. His exit velocity looks like top 12 overall in the league. He looks great. I think another guy who I'm a little bit more concerned about, but possibly could be a buy low if you act fast, is Eloy Jimenez.
Yes.
You know, if he's back from his injury and he really is feeling, like he says he's feeling 200% better. So if that's true, you know, sometimes guys lie about their injuries, but if it's true, that's great.
Yeah, and on top of it, nobody had Eloy Jimenez coming back until August or September, so this would be huge if he's able to come back right after the All-Star break. One more player I want to ask you. We mentioned Walsh is a big positive surprise. I'll give you the other in terms of player rater, maybe the biggest surprise of the season, Cedric Mullins on Baltimore, 16 home runs, 15 steals. Let's just forget about that. This dude is hitting 316 with a 384 OBP. And Gray, I'm not dumb. I know Baltimore and that park is going to play a big factor. We've seen this before. I mean, Renato Nunez had 30 home runs 2 years ago, and I don't even think he's in the league. But what about Mullins moving forward? Do you think that this breakout is legit, or is he a sell guy for you?
Yeah, no, I think Mullins is fairly legit. I think like maybe 90% legit. I think he's got great speed. So that's going to help carry his fantasy value at least a little bit. I think there's the power may not be amazing, but it honestly, it plays in most parks, I think. You know, I saw someone say recently that in Yankee Stadium, he would have actually five more homers on his line. So that was encouraging. Yeah, right now on the player radar, he's the 10th best hitter, 11th overall, just DeGrom's. And DeGrom's the only pitcher in the top 10. So, yeah, I think Mullins is probably not that good. But maybe not as bad as you think. Maybe like a top 50 to 60 overall guy. So, yeah, good. Not maybe this good.
All right. Well, go to rasball.com and check out the second half preview, of course. Check out the Streaminator for the second half of the season. And next week on the show, Gray and I will give you a preview of the second half of the 2021 fantasy season. And then Gray and I are going to do a very deep dive in 2 weeks on players getting traded and what that will mean for their fantasy value as we continue on here in the month of July, getting closer and closer to that July 30th trade deadline. All right, Gray, thanks again for coming on. Have a great weekend. We'll follow you, of course, on Rasball. Look for the funny quips all weekend long and next week. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, Gray Albright with us from Rasball.com. Love all of the columns over on Rasball, and Gray is just climbing up the standings as I am falling, not a shock, in the NL yet again. My gosh, one of these years I'm going to win this thing. It's not going to be this year. Okay, we'll take a quick break here on the show. Fantasy or reality coming up next as we close out the week here on this Friday right here on Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Today. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com. Plenty of action this weekend. And sort of here's what's on tap for those of you who are going to be watching us this weekend. First of all, Scott Farrell's coming your way, 4 o'clock Eastern, so stay tuned there. So we got baseball Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We have Wimbledon going on this weekend. We, of course, have the Quaker State 400. We have golf this weekend as well. We have the Euro Cup on Sunday. And, Davis, we have the NBA on Sunday night. So I feel like there is something for everyone, even with the NHL wrapping up their season a couple of days ago. But the big thing, Davis, I would say to people is, and I don't know how you feel about this, but what we do in our industry next week tends to be the slowest sports week of the year. But because the NBA had to push the finals ahead a little bit, we get some NBA. But in general, next week is it. So I would say enjoy this weekend. Eat it all up. But there's no baseball next week. NBA coming to an end. No NHL. And then it's just waiting for football, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, basically after baseball heads to their All-Star break, the NBA finals are over. The Stanley Cup playoffs are over. It kind of just becomes, I mean, we do have the British Open next week. So that'll be cool. Like in that lull, we'll have the British Open, which is my favorite golf tournament to watch every year. So that is always, you know, pretty enjoyable. But you are right. Basically, from July 15th to September 1st, it is everyone just becoming more and more and more and more and more excited about the NFL season starting. That is basically what happens. And, you know, I fully include myself in that because I love football. I mean, it is my favorite sport. I'm all aboard the best ball. So I'm one of those people.
Totally understand. And starting next week, as I mentioned, our coverage in the second hour of our show will shift over to a lot more fantasy football discussion. And we'll do that all the way through the Super Bowl. So that'll be a lot of fun as well. All right. Brett Levy today is unfortunately, he just got destroyed yesterday at the FanDuel Sportsbook. He could not afford to get a ticket to ride the train. over into New Jersey. So he is home, but he does have fantasy a reality for us. And Brett, look, I'm sorry about what happened yesterday. I mean, nobody could have predicted last night. Washington was up 8-0. And then a relief pitcher comes back, hits that grand slam. You lose that bet taking Washington. I know San Diego won. I'm sorry that you're home. But listen, you know, just send me your Venmo info. I'll, you know, send a couple bucks over, make your way over to FanDuel, and I'll help you out.
The nice thing about the Mets being in the NL East, Craig, is even on rainouts, we move up in our division standings. But to start off fantasy or reality, we're going to stay on the baseball field, because Miguel Cabrera is getting really close to 3,000 hits, and a lot of people think Mike Trout's going to get there as well. But I'm not so sure anyone else is within striking range, Craig. So I got to ask, more than two active players in the MLB will reach 3,000 hits. Craig, we'll start with you. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, today is actually the anniversary of Derek Jeter's 3,000th hit back on 2011, so I thought it'd be a good time to bring this up. You're right, Brett. Miguel Cabrera is going to get to 3,000 hits, and he's going to be in the Hall of Fame for sure. But this is really interesting when you look at it. I saw someone breaking this down. There may not be another 3,000-hit player that is not named Mike Trout. Like, that is really possible when you look at it. I had to go all the way down and ask myself these questions, and, you know, certainly, Davis, you could weigh in too. Like, 400 hits away from Robinson Cano, who's suspended for the year. Can he get there? Is someone going to sign him? Is he going to play three more years? I don't know the answer to that. Joey Votto is great, and he probably is going to be a Hall of Famer, but Davis, this dude walks so much, he's not going to come close to 3,000 hits. And, oh, he'll get in, but not because of that, just because of his on-base acumen. Freddie Freeman, he has 1,600. He's still going to have to play, I think, eight more years maybe to get there. And with the way that batters are swinging, striking out, hitting a home run, or walking, we are not going to see as many hitters. So I'm going to reluctantly say there's someone playing right now that is a reality, but I just am unable to identify who that player may be. It is not easy to say, Davis, that it's Acuna or it's Tatia. You just can't say that because you don't know of injuries, and the way that batter's approach is now, it's really hard for me to do. I thought 300 wins is long gone. No one's ever doing that again, but 3,000 hits? Will anybody do that outside of Cabrera? Do you see that?
No, I mean, I think that probably Trout will get there. And honestly, even Trout will be close, because right now Mike Trout has just a shade over 1,400 hits. I think it's 1,416 hits. Mike Trout is 29. So basically you give him, you know, you give him another decade, right? Okay, so he plays right for 10 more years. Does he stay healthy, right? He's missing a big chunk of this season. He has missed big chunks of a couple other seasons, actually. If you go back and look at his plate appearances, he was only at 507 in 2017. He'll be close. Mike Trout will be very close. I got to say, I think that's it. I don't think that Acuna gets there. I don't think Tatis gets there. You know, I don't think Bellinger gets there, because all of these guys are hitting in such a different way. They are not trying to hit seeing eye singles. They're not trying to advance the runner. It's home run or bust for all of these guys, right? It is all about the power swing. It's all about hitting 40 home runs, all about hitting 50 home runs. And guys who are singles hitters, right? Your Kevin Newmans of the world. These guys are not going to stick around for that long. They're not going to play until they're 40, because that skill set is not desired anymore. So I think that is a fantasy. I think it's Trout and Cabrera, and that's it.
Yeah, Freeman to me has a shot if he goes to the American League, because he's still 31. And he does tend, Davis, to double a lot. You know, he does single and double, so maybe that's an extra guy. But I can't believe that this conversation is here on the anniversary of Jeter's 3,000th hit, which was a home run, by the way. Okay, Brett, what do we got next?
All right. So last night was the Scripps National Spelling Bee. Zaia Avant-Garde won the Scripps National Spelling Bee. But Craig, this girl, she's really impressive. She holds 3 Guinness Book of World Records for dribbling a basketball. She's in 8th grade. She's a 2-time middle school state champion. So in basketball as well, multi-talented, but we're going to focus on the spelling bee part of this. Fantasy or reality, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. You have participated in a spelling bee. Davis, is this a fantasy or reality?
So this is a reality. I remember when I did it. I remember, you know, the age that I was. I remember all of that stuff. I was in the fourth grade in Salina, Kansas, and I entered into, you know, my age bracket of spelling bee. I don't remember who put the event on, I suppose. You know, I don't remember if this was a citywide thing. I don't remember if it was a school thing, but I have participated in at least one spelling bee. I mean, what an antiquated idea, a spelling bee, you know, in the world where we all care. Like, you know, we literally carry around a spell check with us at all times. I mean, it does. It just seems very bizarre for that to be, you know, our a thing that people are doing. But I mean, all for it. I'm sure that a lot of these kids doing the spelling bee are a lot smarter than I was when I was a kid. So very cool. But reality, I have participated in a spelling bee.
Yeah, and my son in school, like, he did fine at it, but like, they gave him a handwriting grade, and I was like, that's not something that you're gonna have to worry about. I don't think 10 years from now I had to worry about it back then too. So this is a reality also for me. And again, like you, Davis, the details are a little bit hazy because I have to go back a little further than you, I believe. So sixth grade, I was in a spelling bee in North Miami where I grew up. I recall that we were all given like some crazy amount of words to spell on paper. It may have been 1,000. It was like something insane. And then out of the 1,000, what they did was they ranked you based on the amount that you got correct. And the top 20 people that got it correct got to go into the spelling bee, and I cracked the top 20. I don't remember what number I was. I may have been 7, 10, 15, I'm not sure. But in order to get to first, Davis, from that, because of the pre-ranking, it was sort of like an insurmountable task because whoever got the most right out of that 1,000 got to that final round. And as long as they didn't miss any words, they ended up winning. And that's what happened. I think that when we got to the final round, I got every single one right, and I didn't really even move up. I finished where I was. So I was a pretty good speller going back to elementary school. This is a reality. I was in a spelling bee as well. So for the both of us today, it is a reality.
All right. Well, our next question is going to be about food delivery, because Grubhub has announced that they are using robots to deliver food to college campuses. Domino's Pizza has also rolled out something similar. So we got to ask, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. You would order a pizza from a robot delivery person. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, 100%. I am the target demographic. When Domino's came up with this idea, when DoorDash came up with this idea, it is literally me that they came up with this for. I would imagine that the robot delivery, you don't tip the robot delivery, right? Like, I would imagine that's probably part of why. And you know, I always stand with the workers. I don't love the idea of human labor being replaced by robots. But yeah, this is for, also, I love Domino's. I worked at Domino's when I was in high school. Big fan of the Domino's organization. There you go. There's a little fun fact about me. I was a delivery driver. My job was the one getting replaced by the robot delivery person. Yeah, but 100%, I would order a pizza from a robot delivery. I would order DoorDash. I would order Postmates from a robot who came to my door. 1,000,000%. This is a reality. And I look forward to, I mean, whenever this is introduced in St. Louis, I'm going for it.
Well, first of all, the revelation of you working for Domino's is huge here on the show. So I would ask that on a future one of your podcasts, you break this down. I know we don't have a lot of time on this show for it, but I'd love to hear more about that on your take cast, on your podcast. So I am an old school person. I am going to say, given the choice, I'm going to take a human. I'm going to take a human here because you know what, man? What if it's wrong? What happens in that spot? Like, what do you do? Like, do you give it back? Are you able to talk to somebody? Is that person not there? Does the robot know how to give you the right pizza? And for me, I don't order takeout a ton. We do a lot of cooking here. And we consider it sort of like a special event, not because of the monetary aspect, just because, hey, we're going to go a little outside the box. If we're going to do that, I want to know what's inside the box and make sure they don't get it wrong. I would say 9 times out of 10, I get delivery correct. But I got to tell you, the one time that it is incorrect, I am so upset.
It's so appalling. Annoying.
Yeah. Do we want it again? Do we want to, do we even want to go through this? And then there's that misery where we choose not to, but then we decide, oh, we got to go with something else anyway. Ugh. Fantasy for me. I think it'll catch on at where they're putting it in colleges. I think that's a great idea because, again, proximity probably from where the delivery is really easy. But yeah, I'm gonna still choose the person, although I will try this. I definitely will try this. But that's interesting with Domino's, because Domino's is not my go-to at all, Davis. I'm more a Pizza Hut guy.
It comes to the store frozen. Your Pizza Hut comes to the Pizza Hut frozen. They make it all fresh at Domino's. Do with that information what you will.
I learned something very important on the show today, that Pizza Hut will no longer be sponsoring us here at Sports Grid. All right, we got to take a break here on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll be back with the Sports Grid 60 in just 2 minutes. So stay on the grid. We'll wrap up your week next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For the first time since April, Davis and I will be back on Monday without any Major League Baseball, as the All-Star break is coming next week. We'll preview the Home Run Derby on Monday, All-Star game on Tuesday, take a look at some fantasy football in the second half of the season. Let's turn it back over to Davis as he closes our week out with the Sports Grid 60. What is on your mind, Davis?
Well, you know, many things are on my mind. We got the European Championship this weekend. You know, we have the John Deere Classic ending this weekend. Lots of stuff going on, but my thing that I have today is slow draft etiquette. You know, of course, we have the Scott Fish Bowl going on right now, big tournament, many, you know, thousands of people competing, 12-team leagues, all of that stuff. I feel like it used to be a thing that everyone would kind of take it as like a badge of honor to just be like, oh, look, I'm going to get in my drafts and I'm just going to crush them. I'm going to have pre-draft selections made. Is there anything worse than waiting for a draft to just, you know, it is crawling to the end? Once, you know, you get past the 8-9 rounds, people are over it and you're sitting there and your draft has been going on for a week and a half. Is there anything worse, Craig? I don't think there is.
Yeah, I think I'm somewhere in between. Like, I understand doing a slow draft means it's slow, but the problem is it's always the same couple of people. That's usually the issue for me, is that you're always having to ping the people who are not participating in it, and it gets really annoying. So I do get that. Fantasy baseball analysts, people who play fantasy baseball, are liars. Why are they liars? They are so passionate about it. They love it so much that they cannot admit next week. You're going to see a lot of this on social media. Oh, I'm so bummed with no baseball going on. Oh, I don't know what to do with myself with no baseball going on. If that is the case, you need to get a life. Next week is fantastic. For the first time in 4 months, I don't have to worry about setting my lineup. I can take a few days off and not worry about what's going on. It is a huge grind to play season-long fantasy baseball. I enjoy the time off. And trust me, so should you. Don't worry about it for a few days. You can live without it. And this is coming from somebody that plays fantasy baseball, loves baseball too. Looking forward to the break. Thank you, of course, to Connell at LTN, for Brett, Danny, and Ryan, my co-host Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.